Inside COVID-19 from BizNews. Dr. Ryan Noach is the Chief Executive of Discovery Health. Ryan, there's been lots of discussion from every side of the spectrum in South Africa about the liquor ban. What do you think about it?
Yes, interesting times, Alec. The announcement last night by President Ramaphosa of the amendments to the lockdown regulations. I must say, I understand that it's a very contentious point and that some people are quite upset about this. But on a personal level, as a clinician and looking at this as the Department of Health would, what's best for the country, I'm actually personally in support of this. And I think that it's a sensible move. But let me not say that without qualifying it. Let me try and give a rational response. It was a very clear experiment during the level 5 lockdown when alcohol was banned to see what would happen to trauma units, to emergency care services, the ambulance services, and to ICUs in the absence of alcohol. And as I've discussed with you previously, Alec, the hospitals just completely emptied out. And we saw admission levels at least 40 to 50% below what they typically are. And a large part of that was no alcohol and no trauma-related admissions. And the ambulance services, by the way, during that period were absolutely dead quiet. Then when the alcohol ban was lifted, unfortunately, that changed almost overnight. And within a couple of weeks, anecdotally, the evidence shows that about 30% of the patients filling the hospital beds were alcohol-related or alcohol-induced trauma and related injuries. And now that's anecdotal. Our evidence is still emerging on this. It's not our own data, but you know, it's compelling. The hospital's filled up with alcohol-related cases. Considering where the hospitals are today and the pressure that they're under with many people, unfortunately, ill from COVID, considering the pressure that the alcohol puts on the hospital beds, it's completely sensible, in my view, to stop the flow of alcohol again and try and make available every single doctor, nurse, emergency care resource and hospital bed that you can for the wave of COVID-related illness rather than alcohol-related trauma.
Says a lot about where the priority for the future should be when COVID is perhaps behind us. Because if 30% of beds are taken up by alcohol-related injuries, then surely that's got to be a focus area, a bigger focus area for the country. But I'm sure we're learning a lot from what's going on here. Just generally speaking, the projections are another area of quite significant contention. Some people saying it's being exaggerated, others believing that we've still got a huge wave to come. What are your actuaries telling you?
Just before I step to the projections to respond to your last comment, personally, Alec, I must say I don't believe in a prohibition. I don't believe it's successful. I think it will do more harm than good. And the alcohol industry creates a lot of jobs, contributes meaningfully to the fiscus, is a big part of our exports, supports the economy of one part of the country. That's pretty meaningful. And so, you know, I'm not at all in favor of a prohibition. I think the lesson here is that as a society, as South Africans, we have to find a more responsible way for legal alcohol to flow. And we have to learn lessons at a societal level about how to respond and how to act when alcohol is around. I think that, for me, is the lesson. I'm personally not in favor at all of a prohibition. I think that that would, to say again what I said earlier, do more harm than good. Anyway, to move on then to your question about the projections, you'll remember in our last conversation, we spoke about three scenarios that we had based on adjustments to the Actuarial Association of South Africa's forecasts, a base scenario and a high scenario. And we were saying that we were hoping for the low, but running along on the base scenario at that point in time. The bad news today, Alec, is that actually on our projections, we're tracking against the high scenario at the moment. Our scenario on that high scenario predicts something like 10 to 11 million infections in the country by the end of the year, by October to November. By the way, those gross infection numbers include all the asymptomatic infections. So many of those go unnoticed and don't return positive test results. But as a total number of infections, that's certainly the trajectory we're on, sadly, at the moment.
Which again, is, 10 million people, so roughly 20% of the population.
That is what our high projection says by the end of the year. But remember, as I said, there's a very high asymptomatic rate. It depends which literature you read, but it seems to be somewhere between 40 to even as high in the latest Belgian study as 75% asymptomatic rate. Of all those infected people, probably half of them are totally asymptomatic, don't know they have it, they've been infected, but they don't show any features or signs of it whatsoever. From a morbidity perspective, from an illness perspective, it's nowhere near those numbers. But that is how we're tracking at the moment. On attack rate, which is the number of new infections every day per 100,000 people in the country. So number of new infections every day per 100,000 people in the country, we're running way above where Europe was at its peak. We're running at about 30 new infections per 100,000 people per day. And Europe at its peak was at about 18. We are yonks ahead, unfortunately, of where Europe and Italy was at its peak. I think the good news, because one always looks for the good news, and I'm inherently an optimist, it's one of our values at Discovery. The good news is that our mortality rate is very low in comparison to the rest of the world, and this is favorable.
Ryan, what about the other emerging markets? How is South Africa comparing?
We're unfortunately running up there with the fastest in the world. From an emerging market perspective, Brazil and India are ahead of us, both on the attack rate, which, as I said earlier, a number of new infections per 100,000 per day, but also on the cumulative infection count. And they are bigger populations than ours, but we're behind them on prevalence terms. The big four at the moment in terms of the current outbreak are the USA leading the charge, Brazil number two, India number three, and we're in fourth place. We have seen a country like Chile also experience a very high attack rate, but they've peaked and come down on the other side just as quickly. And so we all hope for the same kind of pattern that Chile has seen, you know, coming down on the other side of a very high attack rate.
So what's the number we need to watch most closely?
Well, the compound daily growth rate is a very good indicator of how fast we're growing or what the doubling rate is. At the moment in South Africa, our compound daily growth rate is 5%. And you know the power of compound interest. That's compound, right? So we're running at 5%. We need to get our compound daily growth rate well below 1%. And then we need to get our attack rate, in order to do that, we need to get our attack rate all the way down below the 10 mark. So we're watching that attack rate carefully. I mean, if you look at the Western Cape, which could have peaked, we're not certain yet, but it may well have already peaked. The attack rate in the Western Cape went all the way up to 24 to 28. And since then, it's come all the way down to about 16 new infections per 100,000 lives. So it looks like potentially the Western Cape's epidemic is slowing, although it's been going horizontal for a few days now, but we hope that we get a downward trajectory resuming as we saw a week ago or so. So if that's the pattern in the Western Cape, that's very reassuring for the rest of the country. The good news is that the hospitals in the Western Cape, although they were overwhelmed and although the healthcare professionals in the front line faced crazy conditions and terrible times, they coped. Everybody got care. They almost coped better than, you know, other countries and cities that we've heard about in the world. And that's amazing and says a lot for our infrastructure and our preparedness.
That's good news. What about the facilities in other parts of the country?
The facilities are under pressure everywhere at the moment, Alec. They're really full. I should say that the people in the front line are working under terrible conditions, long hours, dealing with very sick patients. I think the good news from a Discovery Health Medical Scheme perspective is that we haven't had a single member anywhere in the country that's gone without absolutely brilliant care, not one so far. And that our projections and models, notwithstanding us being on the highest trajectory, show that in all the major metropolitan areas, we should have sufficient capacity, including ICU capacity, to accommodate the ill members. It's a difficult thing to project exactly because this disease is new and unpredictable, as we know. And so we can't make any promises about it, but it does look favorable. I think what's very much in our favor as a country at the moment is that different parts of the country are peaking at different times. We've seen the Western Cape peak first, then the Eastern Cape seems to have had the next worst epidemic. Gauteng is now having a massive explosion of COVID, but on the heels of those two provinces. And the hospital occupancy we've seen in the Western Cape has improved. In other words, the hospitals are emptier than they were. So in a worst-case scenario, what we would absolutely do is we would move people to areas where there are hospital beds available. If in the Eastern Cape or the Northwest Province, where there are lower beds per capita of the population, we had to move people, we could move them to the Western Cape or to, you know, Pretoria, respectively, where there are higher bed rates per capita and where we could find capacity. And we would absolutely do that. We'd probably move the non-COVID patients, the ones that weren't COVID positive, out of the ICUs to other ICUs in quiet hospitals. And we would absolutely do that to free up beds.
And it also comes back to the way we started, with 30% of beds being alcohol related. At least temporarily, if there's no alcohol being distributed, that should make a big difference.
I hope so. I think so. I mean, if that lockdown experiment repeats itself, then that anecdote should be realized. And certainly to give the healthcare workers and the hospitals the best chance of not losing an unnecessary life anywhere in the country. Ensuring that every single person gets access to the right care. In that respect, through that lens, notwithstanding the huge economic damage and the employment impact, which is severe and painful, this does seem like a prudent move in the short term. Just to repeat my position, I don't believe it's sustainable or appropriate in the medium to long term.
Inside COVID-19 from BizNews.